Hey Otters fans, welcome to Otters Talk with Eric Konwinski and Hannah Hill. In this week's episode, we'll recap what happened on Friday night in Guelph, Saturday in Erie, and preview what has to happen by your Erie Otters for them to get wins on the road this weekend. Hannah, first, why don't we take a look back at what happened on Friday in Guelph?
The Otters really started off that first period out strong. We started out with a goal only around 2 minutes and 32 seconds into that first period. So I think scoring first definitely brings a lot of momentum and motivation within the bench and within the team. So I thought that was great. There was not too many penalties for either side. I believe there was only one each. I feel that penalties are something that the Otters have struggled with in the past, where when you get stuck in the box, obviously the other teams on the power play, you definitely don't want to be in those situations. However, I definitely thought that Guelph challenged the Otters by scoring in the middle of that first period. I definitely didn't think that it brought down motivation at all, but it definitely challenged them a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of a back and forth game at the beginning there. You mentioned Brett Brissett got onto the score sheet early in that one, and he would get on often throughout the weekend. And so an early start of the beginning of an era of this team, marked by head coach BJ Adams and his constant messages of positivity so far throughout his first week or so of tenure as a head coach. He's been with the team for 6 seasons, but this his first being the bench boss. And Brett Brissett gave him what he was looking for in a quick start in Guelph. However, then the Storm, they got 2 straight to make it 2-1. And Erie was able to add one from Colby Saganuk after that as well, made it 2-2, but 2 more straight from Guelph. And early on in the third period, the Otters down 4-2. It wouldn't be until the very end of the period when Brett Brissett again would score to pull the Otters within 1, and then Erie ended up hitting a crossbar in the final 5 seconds. So overall, it was just a tad bit short, a 4-3 final, and just a couple seconds and maybe an inch, if that, away from tying it up, sending it to overtime. We won't know what happened because we didn't get there. But throughout that game, the penalty kill for the Otters was 4-4. And I liked what I saw as far as the shots on that one. A couple of those, from one of them from Brissett and then another from Saganuk, whether it was just a one-timer or a quick release from the stick that fooled the netminder and beat him. Overall, some good things to build on. And ultimately, that would take us into Saturday, where things started off well for the Otters.
Definitely liked what I saw within the first, honestly, the first period. It honestly was in that third period is what kind of did it for them, to be honest. I feel that they had a good motivation going throughout the entire game. But with the Otters, when they have a little lead, they don't press the gas. They kind of press the brake a little bit and they don't keep on going forward. They kind of, maybe they get a little too ahead of themselves. I'm not really quite sure because I'm not in their heads, kind of knowing what they're thinking during those type of situations. You were there physically, so what did you see on the ice that maybe the fans back at home didn't see?
Helped by the crowd, that effort, really into it. Beginning of the game, it was the first home game for BJ Adams as a head coach. The crowd gave him a standing ovation just a few minutes in, and Erie came out with a lot of pressure at first. Then they had to take a step back because caught with a double minor for a high sticking. Luckily, a London penalty to break up that time shorthanded, but it dampened the pressure a little bit from Erie. And then kind of a fluky goal off a broken line change. London made it 1-0. But Erie, they were down 1-0. They tied it right after that. And Cameron Morton, just a matter of getting that puck to the net, and you never know what's going to happen. He rocketed one from the blue line that tipped something in front, and all the word about Brett Brochu in the net for London was that he was nearly unbeatable, and Erie proved that that's not true. Morton with a lucky bounce for him, but then at the other end of the ice, an unlucky bounce allowed London to jump up 2-1. Erie wouldn't sit back, though. They tied it, and then on top of tying it 2-2, they ended up getting 2 more goals, so 3 straight to go up 4-2. And it was a heck of a crowd at the Erie Insurance Arena. They were feeling it. They were into it. Love playing against London when things are going well. But up until that point, they were. And then the story flipped. With 32 seconds left in the second period, London scored, made it a 4-3 game. They would get 4 straight in the third period and take a 7-4 final away from Erie.
Connor Lockhart ended up getting the second start of the game. He ended up scoring kind of towards the end of that second period. Since you were physically at the arena, what was that goal like?
Well, Connor Lockhart was just able to really feed off of his line mates and got on the board that way. And for that game, he ended up getting a helper as well. So his line playing stellar, and a couple of those goals were, I think, just a matter of Brochu not being ready for them. Later on in that one, the Otters would add a breakaway goal. Quick puck movement. That's one of the things that is, it worked in Guelph and it worked against London when the Otters were able to get those goals in. It's quick releases. They were, whether, like I said, whether or not they were true one-timers, even just caressing that puck a little bit before firing it instead of holding onto it, stick handling, maybe thinking about passing it and then going with the shot. Erie has been getting the puck off of their sticks very quickly, and it's worked in back-to-back games. Unfortunately, there's other areas of the game that they need to build on, but that was one of those things as well where Lockhart and then Brissett as well in that game, able to just beat the goaltender by quick releases. Another thing to mention on that one is that the penalty killers were 4-for-4 again against London. And we talked about this in the past. You mentioned it right off the hop that 4 or 5 penalties averaging a game is maybe not going to sting the Otters because their penalty kill is so phenomenal right now, but they're definitely not going to be able to put up the goals that they want to if they're killing penalties all game. Cam Morton had a good game on the score sheet. He did have the double minor at the beginning of the game, but added the first Erie goal and then an assist later on. Brett Brissett and Colby Saganuk, who both had 3 points against Guelph, only ended up getting one against London, but hopefully point streaks in the making. Brett Brissett has been very hungry recently, and I think that's something we can look forward to in the games coming up here, starting in Windsor on Thursday.
Past couple of games, realistically, is their shots on net. I feel that, you know, every game between periods, sometimes they'll outbeating their opponent, but then there's other times where they're just not. Kind of looking at the score sheet for shots on net, the Knights and the Otters were tied for 10 both in that first period. And then in the second, the Knights had 12 where the Otters only had 5. And then kind of moving forward to that third period, the Knights had 11 and the Otters had 13. So I think kind of getting more shots on net throughout the periods going into this weekend is a really crucial part of their team.
That also harkens back to in Guelph for the second period, the Otters allowed 20 in that second period. Luckily, Lalonde was able to save 18 of them, and he kind of held them in there, but lots of pressure. And that also comes, that deficit, because of special teams and not being able to stay out of the penalty box. But in Windsor, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. puck drop. And this will be an interesting one to watch, I believe, because of the recent game between these two teams. Erie allowed 2 goals in 12 seconds after being up 2-0 for most of the game. And then Windsor ended up taking the decision in overtime in that one. But I think that is all in the past now. It's a new time for the Erie Otters. Positivity has been mentioned through and through by the new head coach, BJ Adams. And I think that even after that last game, there was tons to be positive about in the head-to-head matchup with Windsor. So I think that's a matter of mentality and starting to recognize that those little tiny victories that they're taking are going to be building now. I mean, you got the foundation for something good. The record might not be good right now, but building towards the future. And I think that starts this weekend.
We're still pretty early into the season. It's only the middle of November. And like you said, we have a new head coach. And I think that will definitely help build this young Otter core because there's so many young players. And I didn't think they played bad against the Spitfires. And I thought they played honestly really well. And so I'm definitely expecting them to play that well, you know, this upcoming weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. I also really enjoy when there's just 3 games in one weekend. There's so much going on. And I'm most excited for Sunday's afternoon game. I think that's going to be definitely one to watch. If you can only get one game this upcoming weekend, definitely watch the Sunday afternoons.
Sunday 2:07 in the Sioux, and it's a preview of the first of a home and home between the Greyhounds and the Otters. Thanksgiving game on Thanksgiving Thursday will host Sioux St. Marie, but the Otters and Sioux always play each other hard. Lots of chippy battles in the past, and the Otters are 5-5 the past 5 years against Sioux St. Marie. So we will see how that continues on Sunday, and then sandwiched in between those two matchups, Friday night in Flint, 7 p.m., And that's one where you just got to hope that it really is the ushering in of new mentalities and fresh slates, because the Otters have lost four against Flint already in this young season. Two of those were only by one goal, but that's all in the past now, and it's time to build.
Coming off back-to-back losses as well, that can definitely be a motivation to go into the upcoming games with momentum to come out with a win.
And that's all we have on the docket for the Erie Otters that are currently in the OHL. But Anna, you have been following some NHLers, some Otters alum, and of course, one very notable one at the top of some categories in the NHL, Connor McDavid, continues to be a superstar.
Connor McDavid is one of those players that we're constantly talking about. Even if he wasn't an Otter alum, we would still be talking about him because he's just one of those players that everyone loves to watch for obvious reasons. Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers officially reached his 600th career point on Sunday afternoon. As McDavid found his 10th goal of the season, he also was credited a primary assist on one of his teammates' goals in that game as well. He realistically has 601 points at the moment, which is insane. And also, this is kind of all over social media, McDavid also has reached 150 points in his last 82 games, which is just, if you think about, this kid is literally 24. He is 24 and he's already reached that. And he's being compared to the greatest of all time, Wayne Gretzky, and all these amazing players. It's just insane to think about. And it's great.
I'm not sure when this Connor McDavid train ever slows down, if it does as well. The point breakdowns are quite impressive by Connor McDavid. Took him 92 games to get to his 100th point in the NHL way back in his second season. It was 82 games then, a full regular season, to get him from 100 to 200. His 100 points up till 300 took him 68 games. And then from 300 to 400, it was 67 games, one fewer. Well, three fewer, from 400 to 500, only 64 games played. And most recently, he has only required 53 games to go from points.
I'm pretty sure he has had at least, he's locked away with every game with at least 1 point. If he's not scoring, he's setting up plays, which is just shows why he's the captain of the Oilers and why he's one of the best players in the league right now.
And he still has this season as well. I don't think he's gone more than three games ever in his career without getting a point, and still on a point streak to open the season for the Oilers as well. It's quite remarkable. Now, we recognize as well his teammate in Edmonton, another former Erie Otter, Warren Fogle, who has been contributing just a little bit on that third line for Edmonton. But of course, the story out of Edmonton has always been, where is the depth scoring to help Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? Well, Warren Fogle contributing a little bit to that cause, and lots of other Otters around the NHL to catch up on as well.
Andre Burkowski of the Colorado Avalanche ended up scoring his fourth goal of the season as the Avs were playing the San Jose Sharks. His goal was scored in the third period at 10:13. Kind of moving forward to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning played against the New York Islanders Monday night, and that was a big game. If you were a big Lightning fan, you would know that the New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning do not like each other at all. These two are rivals. They played against each other in the Eastern Conference Finals in back-to-back years. And if you've watched any of those games the past 2 years, you would know that those are very chirpy games. Anthony Cirelli ended up scoring late in the first period, around 32 seconds left in the first, while the Bolts were on a power play. If you watched that game, you would also know that he dropped the gloves, which was great, by just defending his teammate Alex Killorin. And then at the last few minutes of the third period, he took a puck to the face. So it was quite the night.
Big play Tony continues to live up to his nickname, and he is beloved here in Erie, not for what he did in 2015, but what he did in 2017 in those OHL playoff matchups. Quite a fan favorite because of just a truncated tenure with the Otters, but that was enough for Anthony Cirelli to live on in Otters legend territory.
Just getting better as he's been in the NHL. And that's why he's a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion.
Mason Marchment as well, working toward a return, still injured, but a big part in that Florida lineup, and maybe not something that people would expect to hear at this point in the timeline, the overall timeline of things. But Mason Marchment, again, one of those role players who may have what it takes to propel Florida to some postseason success.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I've seen during the Panthers postseason, being able to see the Panthers play in person. He's definitely one of those players that is a huge part of the Florida Panthers' success, as one of those players that's constantly improving as he's been with the organization and the team. St. Louis Blues will be facing off against the Arizona Coyotes. That puck drop is at 8 p.m. And you can also catch the Edmonton Oilers against the Winnipeg Jets, and that puck drop is also at 8.
Another former Erie Otter on the Ottawa Senators team is, of course, former captain Connor Brown. Another one that he bounced around a little bit from Toronto and ended up in Ottawa, where it's been some tough times recently, but Connor Brown getting in at least and contributing the way that he can. Yes, 7 points for the Senators, who are trudging along in a bit of a rebuild.
The Colorado Avalanche will be facing off against the Vancouver Canucks. That puck drop is at 9 p.m. And then the Chicago Blackhawks against the Seattle Kraken. That puck drop is at 10 p.m. That should be a pretty entertaining game. I've been really, really liking what a couple of the players on the Chicago Blackhawks have been doing this past season. Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, two very big names that were on the Erie Otters roster.
And had big roles as well in 2017 and the years beforehand, contributing to the Otters' OHL postseason runs. And Dylan Strome in the lineup now for Chicago. It looks like he's kind of cemented his place. He didn't start out the season that way, but Alex DeBrincat leading the Chicago Blackhawks in goals with 8 and factoring in on some assists as well. And that, I believe, is where we will leave it for this week's Otters Talk. Again, Eric Konwinski and Hannah Hill here with you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll catch you next time. Go Otters.
Go Otters.